Today's daf is Yuma Daf Chaf Aleph, and we again have the tremendous close of finishing the first perek in Maseches Yuma. Again, another difficult day for Am Yisrael, as it just came off the Zoom or the live stream of another Levaya, the one from a kid from Shalavim, which is also very just really devastating. But again, what do? We learn Torah, and Luli Nishmas, those who have passed away, and B'schus Refu Shalema for those who still need a refuah shlema. That's what we do. That's our response. So we're going to do that. We're going to learn the Daf HaYomi. We're going to keep up with hundreds of thousands of Jews learning the same limud all over the world. So we're here on Chaf Amud Beis, the five lines up Tanu Rabbanan. So we've been talking about a bunch of different things. We finish off the perek today with a bunch of Agadata, which is a nice break. The last thing we talked about is that the sun comes through the window and makes like this sawdust. That's like the nothingness of the world. That's kind of what we said. So as we're on the topic of the sun, we're going to talk about the sun for a minute, and then we're going to spend most of our time today talking about the nisim that were in the Beis Hamikdash. Some of them involving Yom Kippur, most of them not. Okay, either way, let's see. Tanu Rabbanan. Ilamali galgal chama nishma kol hamoni shal romi. If we didn't have the sun, the ball of the sun orbiting the earth, the noise or the interference, shall we say, nishma kol hamona shal romi, you would hear the voice of the masses of Rome. Vilmali kol hamona shal romi, and if you didn't have the voice of the masses of Rome, nishma kol galgal chama. So similarly, you would hear the noise of the sun going around the world. Now we're going to have another one of these kind of strange phrases. And the Marasha explains basically that this is obviously not to be literal. It's not that the sun is actually making noise, but the Romans are blocking it out. But as we'll see in a second, there are other things. These things are famous throughout the world. Everybody knows. Everybody hears of it. The next line we're going to say is Shalosh Kolos Holchin Misofa Olam Ad Be'at Sofo, that three voices travel from one end of the earth to the other. And again, the idea is obviously the voice doesn't travel, the voice is heard, right? It doesn't say Nishma, it doesn't say these voices are heard. Right? The first brisa says Nishma, but the second brisa says that the voices travel. And the idea here is, again, that these things are so famous, everybody knows about them. And again, they're competing famousnesses. So again, people knew at that time, right? The Romans conquered the entire world. So the known world, anyway. So that was, the Roman conquest was as famous as the sun going around the earth, right? Again, that's the idea here, that they're playing off each other. Tanu Rabbanan Shalosh Kolos Holchin Misof Olam Ve'ad Sofo. Three other things that were heard from one end of the earth to the other that travel. Right, the news of these things. Ve'elu hein, and these are them. Kol galgal chama, the voice or the idea that the sun orbits the earth. Kol hamona shel romi, the masses of Rome. V'kol neshama b'shah sheyotzis min haguf, and also the sound that a soul makes when it leaves a body, as you'll see in a second. If you're confused, that doesn't happen anymore. So you'll see in a second. The Gemara will explain. V'yesh omrim af leida. Even some people even say that when a person is born, right, the birth also has a news and like a kol and a voice that happens. V'yesh omrim af radia. Some people say also the literally means radia is someone who plows. What does that mean? So Rashi says that's a reference to Malach Hamamona al Hashkos Haaretz Mamtar Mimtar Shemayim Mimal Minatom Mitachas. That is apparently a reference to the angel who is in charge of rain. Rain coming on the land. Obviously, rain is crucial there in Israel. So that's also something very, very well known that everybody, let's say, knows about. Now, obviously, the Gemara does not mean that this angel is in charge of how much it rains, but obviously, that's Kosh Baruch Hu decides, and he tells the Malach what to do, and the Malach carries it out. Okay, in terms of discussing how that structure of the world works, right, they already, you can look and say for Derech Hashem, by the Ramchal, that's not for now. But either way, so some people say even that angel has the noise. But either way, Ubo Rabbanan, I mean, again, when I say the noise, it just means the reputation, everybody knows about it. Right? Ubo Rabbanan Rachmei Aneshama B'Shashi Yotzim Min Haguf Ubitlua. But the Chachamim Davind, that for the soul, for the Neshama, that it shouldn't have so much of a call when it leaves the goof, and that was eliminated, that was removed, that was bought up. Okay, that's fine. Tani Kavasin Rav Shila. Now, again, if you remember yesterday, we had a machlokes between Rav and Rav Shila as to what we're talking about when we refer to the call of the Gavra or the voice or the call of the Kriyas Gavra, rather, the Kriyas HaGever, sorry, Gavra is in Aramaic, Kriyas HaGever, the calling of the Gever, so in Mechogas, whether it was a rooster or it was a person. Rav had said it was talking about a person, the announcer in the Beis HaMikdash, and Rav Shila says talking about the rooster. Either way, both of them are referring to a time close to Netzachama, when the sun comes up. But either way, we had a brisa that supported Rav, then we got on a tangent, and now we're back to a brisa that supports Rav Shila, because it says, Ayotzi l'derech, right, the brisa says, someone who goes on a journey, Kodim Kriyas HaGever, if he goes before the announcing of the Gemer, of the Gever, of the Chor of the Chicken, we'll see in a second, right, so Damo Barosho, his blood is on his own head, meaning it's his fault. It's his own fault, because things are dangerous. If you look at Rashi, Avon Moso Arosho Mutal Shu Hemis Atmo. It's as if he's killed himself. Rachman Alitzlan. The Rashi above that says Mipnei Mazikin. Right back then at night, there were plenty of Mazikin, usually translated as Shadim, as demons, evil forces that could affect the person if he traveled at night. So the person's right, he's going in a dangerous area. He's going in a dangerous area, and his blood is on his own head. Rabbi Yoshi Omer Ad Shishanet. Rabbi Yoshi Omer Miachi Yashlish. Rabbi Yoshi says that you should only wait until there was two announcings, right? We think when we say Kriyas HaGever, so there should be two of them. There should be two calling outs, and some people say three. Uve Eze Tarnagol Amru, and this is how it's approved for Rabbi Shila. Which chicken are we talking about? So, Tarnagol Benoni, the regular, normal, average Joe chicken. That's what we're talking about. Again, you should wait till let's say three. Calls of the chicken. Okay, that, as we see clearly, the rooster is what the gever means in this brisa, and that's a proof for Rabbi Shila. Okay, now I'm Rabbi Yudamarav. B'shash Yisrael Ola L'Regel, when Bnei Yisrael would be Ola L'Regel, Omdim Tzufim. They would stand kind of packed together, crammed together like sardines. Unfortunately, that nowadays, in the last couple of days, that brings up an image of tragedy, which is kind of sad, not kind of sad, extremely sad, but kind of devastating, as it were. If you look at Rashi Tzufim, it really describes what Lashon Tzaf Merov Ha'am. There's so many people there packed together, and Nidchaking Ish Be'echav. Right, each person is literally one person is touching and slammed against the other. Ve'in lo makom lintos al tzido. Right, he doesn't even have any room to move to the side, lakan lakan, right, either to the right or to the left. V'zokuv kekora, he's standing straight like a board. Af raglav notlim in haaretz, me'al haaretz, even his feet are lifted up on the ground. And unfortunately, that's that depiction led to tragedy up in Meiron. Again, if you've been in those crowds, right, you've been, let's say, in Meiron, or let's say Simchas Beis Shoeva, and maybe let's say Toldos Aaron or whatever, and the crowd is literally carrying you along, so you can understand this is nothing new. It's not somebody's fault that this is how it works, right? Again, the Gemara says this is how it's been for many, many thousands of years. Baruch Hashem, the Jews are coming to a holy place, right? Everybody packs in, everybody wants to get there. So in the Beis HaMikdash, they would have this as well. But they had a nace, an unbelievable miracle, that when, and again, that we talk about when it comes to Yom Kippur time, that when they would mishtachavin, when Bnei Yisrael would bow down, there would be plenty of room. There'd be plenty of room. You could stretch out your hands and your feet, and you could bow down, and everything was fine. And there was even, right, it was so packed, they even took up the 11 amos behind. Beis HaKaporos is the place where they put the Kaporos, i.e. the Kodesh Kadashim. Right, if you look at it, if you have a picture of the Beis HaMikdash, right, again, usually the Jews were on outside of the Kodesh, but there was a space around the Kodesh Kadashim building, right, the actual Kodesh and building itself, where you could theoretically fit, and basically all of that was packed. All of that was packed on the regalim. So Gemara says, "My Kamar." So what do you mean? Right. So what's going on over here? If they were packed together, they even went all the way to the 11 amma space. Again, just to explain, the 11 amma space is between the building and the western wall. Right. Again, I've mentioned a couple times, but when we go to the Kotel, that's the back of the base on Mikdash. We assume, I guess, because that's what we have, that it was the front, but no, that was the back. The Kodesh Kadashim was actually closest to the western wall. And between the Kodesh Kadashim and the western wall, not the Kotel, that was probably a wall around Harabais. 98%, that was a wall around Harabais. But between, let's say, the back of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Kodesh, the Kodesh Kodashim, and the wall of the actual Beis HaMikdash, right, not the Kotel HaMaravi, but the wall of the actual Beis HaMikdash, was 11 Amos, and they said that people used to even pack in there. Okay, anyway, so meaning, what's going on over here? If there people were still packed, so how could they have room to bow down? So how could Gamar Alpha Pish and Mishokan Akas Shayama Achorebes Akaporis Omdin Tzufim Shehu Machstakvin Mishtakvin Revachin? Even though they were so packed and they took up all the space, when they bowed down, there would be plenty of space. And this is one of the 10 nisim that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. Now we're going to spend a lot of time enumerating and delineating what those nisim were. We're going to quote a bunch of them. What about this? What about that? And in the end, we'll kind of consolidate a bunch and we'll get to 10. But either way, there were many miracles in the Beis HaMikdash. The time, like we learned in the Mishnah, yeah, Mishnah and Perkei Avos, yeah, where they list all the 10 things, right, the ten tests of Avram, the 10 miracles that happened, right, in the Beis HaMikdash. Like, we're going to have the 10 things that were created, Benish Mashos, and be, okay, either way, fine. Says the Mishnah, Asar Nisim Nasim Beis HaMikdash, there were 10 things that were done in the Beis HaMikdash. Number one, Lohi Pila Isha Mireach Basar HaHekdesh. A woman never miscarried from the unbelievable smell of Basar HaHekdesh. We know, again, the Gemara mentions a bunch of times that women, at least back then, and I would imagine nowadays as well, could be affected by very strong and delicious smells. Very strong smells could affect a woman in her pregnancy. So back then, right, again, I would imagine the smell of roasting meat was everywhere in the Beis HaMikdash. You would imagine it smelled like you walked into a shawarma joint, I would think. At least amongst other smells, right, that were there, but no one ever miscarried. Baruch Hashem. V'lo yisriach basar hekdesh me'olam. None of the meat of hekdesh ever went bad. V'lo nira zvuv bebeis ha-mitbachim. And there was never any flies by the slaughtering area of the Beis HaMikdash. V'lo ira keri the kohen gadol b'yom kippurim. And that's again what we've been talking about recently. There was never the kohen gadol never became a keri on Yom Kippur. Never became pasul in the middle of the day. V'lo nimsa psul ba'omer v'shtei lechem uvalechem apanim. And there was never any psul, there was never any problem with the Omer, again, brought on the second day of Pesach, and the Shnei Alechem brought on Shavuos, and the Lechem Apanim, right, that was brought every week, right, that they put on the Shulchan. There never any problems with that. They would stand packed in together, and they would bow down, there would be plenty of room. A snake and a scorpion never hurt anybody in Yerushalayim, may olam ever. V'lo amar adam lechaveru tzarli amakom sha'olim b'Yerushalayim. And when someone would be ola regal, no one ever said to his friend, there's no room here in Yerushalayim, even though, right, the entire country, the Chora descended on Yerushalayim, and it wasn't even that big. But there was always room, there was always beds, and no one ever complained. So Gemara says, well, what the last two don't talk about the Beis HaMikdash, right? Pasach b'Mikdash were seen b'Yerushalayim, the last two, right, the snake and the scorpion, and people not complaining about their lodgings. So, that was that's Yerushalayim. That's not the Beis HaMikdash. Where you said 10 things happened in the Beis HaMikdash. So Gemara says, "Iga tarti achri naisa." So there are two more b'Mikdash. There are two more miracles that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. Tanya, like we learned in Brisa, "Me'olam lo kovu b'shamim eish shalatim aracha." It rains, no matter how hard it rained, it never put out the fire that was on the mizbeach. The ashen amaracha afilu kol haruchos sheba ulam ba'os umenashchos bo. In mezuzos osomim kamo, and the smoke from the mizbeach always went up in a straight line, regardless of the winds. Right? It always went straight up. The Gemara says, okay, so that's the ten miracles. The Gemara says, v'sulaka, aren't there? You're missing a couple. Right? You're missing some more. V'atani v'lan d'raisa, Rav Shammai b'kalnavo. Rav Shammai taught in Kalnavo, and he said, shivrei klicheres nivlan b'mkomon. If you ever had to break a klicheres, where you can't kasher a pottery earthenware jug, you have to break it if for whatever reason there was an issue. Like, let's say you put something of kachim in there, so it absorbs the taste and the flavor of kachim, so then you can't get it out. So after a day, the flavor becomes nosar. So you have to break the klicheres. So what they would do is they would break it and it would get swallowed up by the ground. And any of the shen amrabai, morav, and venotza, any like the leftovers of the bird offerings, like say the feathers or whatever, vidusha mizbeach, and the ashes of the mizbeach, right? We talked about the trumas adeshen. So the ashes of the mizbeach, hapanimi, vidusha na menorah, and the ashes from the menorah that they would clean out. So fascinating. Yivlan bim koman. So they would be swallowed up again by their place. You didn't have to actually take it out to the garbage, right? They would clean out the menorah, they would do the trumas adeshen, they'd take out the bird feathers or whatever, drop it on the floor, and the floor would swallow it up. Right, imagery, right, that it's hard, almost hard to believe, but that's what happened. That was one of the, that was the Nisim. So Gemara says, you're right. Psulei tlasa havu chashvini bechad. Because if you remember, one of the three things we taught together was there was never a psul in the omer, in the shtei lechem, and the lechem upon it. So the Brisa says, yeah, you're right. Combine those into one. Bechad upik trei v'ayel trei. So then you get, that saves us two more spots. And then we're adding these two, that the ground swallowed up the klicheres, and it also swallowed up all that other stuff that we mentioned. So the Gemara says, the obvious question, yachi blu anami trei, havi chashvinan bechad chosru lehu. So meaning that if you're doing that, so that also should be just one nes, that the ground swallowed up all these different things. Right? If you're talking about right context, right, without the actual details, so just, okay, the ground swallowed up a bunch of different things, that also should be one. So now you're still missing one. So Gemara says, ikanami achrisi. So we still have one more miracle we didn't mention. Dan Rabbi Shuvan Levi, nes godalhaya nasa belechem upon him. There's a miracle by the lechem upon him, again, the bread that they put on the shulchan. Sluko, kisiduro. And it was taken off just like it was put on, meaning even though it was taken off a week later, it was still just as fresh. Shneamar lasum lechem chom biyom makoso. Okay, so that's the 10 miracles that we're trying to list. Gemara says again, Vesuleka, what do you mean? There were no more miracles in the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Rabbi Levi, Dever Zeb Esaros Biyadenu Mehavoseinu. We have a Mesorah passed down from our forefathers. Mokom Aron Eino Minamida. The place in the Aron, if you look at the measurements of the Aron itself, it doesn't work. The math doesn't work. It should have taken up the entire space of the Kodesh Kodashim, yet we see, again in the Mishkan, we have delineations also in the Beis HaMikdash as well, that there was also 10 amos of space on each side of the Aron, even though the Aron itself was basically the entire dimensions of the Kodesh Kodashim. So that doesn't work, right? Okay, the math doesn't work, and it was a miracle. And similarly, Varma Rav Nai, Amar Shmuel, the Kruvim B'nei Zayu Omdim, that the Kruvim as well were also, the math doesn't work out. They were 10 amos long, right? Each wing was 10 amos, right? That also shouldn't have fit, right? There should be no room there. Those are also miracles. So Gemara says, Nisi Devrai Kachashiv. You're right. We're talking about miracles that were out in the open. Nisi Begavai, but any miracle that were inside the Beis HaMikdash, Lo Kachashiv, that's not part of the list. So Gemara says, okay, but Yehachi Lechem Apanim, Nami Nisi Degavayu. But one of the Nisim you said was the Lechem Apanim always stayed fresh. But that was inside the Kodesh. Right, that was inside on the shulchan. Right, so what do you mean that we're only counting ones that were outside? So Gemara says lechem apanim nisa devarayu. No, the lechem apanim was also an outside miracle. The Amar Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish says, "My dechtiv." What does it mean? The pasuk says al shulchan atahor, when you put it on the tahor shulchan. Right, again, v'samtao so shteim amarachos sheish amarachos, like this week's parsha, like we just read yesterday, al shulchan hatahor lefnei Hashem. Put it on the tahor shulchan. So that if you're telling me that it says it's tahor, right? As Rashi, as the Gemara says, tahor mechalal shu tame. Right? Apparently, it can become tame, but he says put it on the shulchan when it's tahor, implying that it can become tame. Problem is kliyetsa asu lenachazu, that it's a wooden not vessel, but it's a wooden piece of furniture that's not supposed to move. Right, lenachaz is supposed to stay there. V'chol kliyetsa asu lenachaz in the mekabel tuma. We know that if you have a wooden piece of furniture that's not supposed to move, it's not makabel tuma. Vachotzis b'fnei tuma. Not only that, it stops tuma. That you could put it in a doorway where the mace is inside a room. You could put, let's say, an armoire that's made out of wood in the doorway, and if it takes up the entire space of the doorway, so then it blocks the tuma. So el lamalameit. So apparently, what do you see? Shemagbiyan oso l'oli regolin. That they used to take the shulchan outside and lift it up and show all the people who came to see, right, the Beis HaMikdash, v'omrim lahem, and they would say to the people who gathered there, ruchi v'atzchem lefnei ha-makom, look how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you, she'siluko kisiduro, that the lechem upon him, right, then when they were taken off, just like they were put on, right, they were fresh. She'emar lashum lechem chum b'yom ha-kloso. So, okay, ha-kacho. So again, okay, so apparently you see that it actually was Mekabel Tuma, and that was a miracle that was on the outside, therefore you can count the Lechem upon him in the list, and you won't count the Aron, because the Aron was a miracle that happened inside, and that's not part of the list. Okay, and the Gemara says again, Vesuleka, but what about it? There were also more miracles. Weren't there any more? V'amar Rav Oshia says, V'shashe b'na Shlomo Beis HaMikdash, as soon as Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, not to bo kol mini migadim shel zahav, he planted all of these trees of gold. Golden grapes, I guess. some or fruit, golden fruit. And they used to you know, give fruit in the proper time. When the wind would blow them, they would fall to the ground. As the pasuk says, Yiresh Kalavanam Priyo. That pasuk in, where's that pasuk? In Tehillim. Okay. When the guy came into the Eichal, to the Beis HaMikdash, Yavesh, it dried up. Yavash, it dried up. Shnamru Farach Levanon Umlal. The flowers of Levanon, right? Again, this beautiful fruit, right, shriveled up. They stopped producing fruit. And Akash Baruch is going to bring it back. Shnamar Parach Tifrach V'Tagel. Afgilas v'ranein kavod halavanon asanla. Okay, so then what about that miracle? So it says nisi the kviya lo kachoshiv. So it says the permanent miracles, meaning the thing like this that was in a tree, lachora or a vine or whatever it was, that's not counted. A permanent miracle, only miracles that happened that kept on happening, right? Not a permanent miracle like that was almost like the nature of the tree was almost. As such, that doesn't count. The Gemara says, "Hashda das the hachi aron kruvim naminis the kriya nenu." So now that you got to this answer, we can explain another reason why the aron wasn't counted, because that was permanent. That was always there. I mean, that miracle never stops, because you know, to fit the aron in the Kodesh Kodashim didn't go anywhere once you built the Beis Hamikdash. So that was always a permanent miracle. So you could also count that. That's why the aron miracle is not counted. Okay, fine. Amar Mar, the Ashen Amaracha, the Gemara, again, we had pointed out that the smoke of the Mizbeach, right, went straight up, right, never was affected by the wind. The Gemara says, Mihava Ashen Amaracha, small problem. Was there any smoke from the Mizbeach? Right, the Tanya Walendan Reisa, Chamisha Dvarim Nemru Be'isha Amaracha. There were five things that we said about the fire on the Mizbeach, of the Maracha, on the Mizbeach. Revutu Kari, it crouches like a lion. Just basically it means that it looked like a lion when it was down there. Rashi says that basically there was the fire that came down from Shemayim looked like a crouching lion. Okay, cool. If fire is coming down from heaven, it can look like whatever you want. Right, it makes sense. Uvara kachama, and it burned it visible. It looked like the chama. It looked like the sun. Vish b'mamish, and it had substance to it. It wasn't like just nothing. V'ochelas lachen kivation, and it would eat wet like dry, meaning it would also consume liquids and not just dry wood. It would also consume, let's say, wet wood and liquids as well. Stomach means moist wood. V'eno mala ashan, and here's the kicker, right? There was no smoke. So what do you mean? The smoke never changed. So what are you talking about? The smoke we're talking about is from the fire of the regular people, right? The normal people. There were two fires on the Mizbeach. Right, the Tanya is below them, right? So when Asnupin and Rona Kohen Eshel on Mizbeach, right? That the Kohanim have to put fire on the Mizbeach. Afal Pisha Eshel Redus Min Hashemayim, right? Even though there's fire coming from heaven, so mitzvah lahavi min ahedyot is a mitzvah for humans to also put a fire. So that's the fire that created smoke. Okay, Ruhuta Kari was the fire that came down from Shemayim. Did it really look like a crouching lion? Vatanya Amr Rabbi Chanina Sgana Kohanim Ani Risi of Ruhuta Kekalev. Rabbi Chanina Sgana Kohanim said, I saw this fire and it was crouching like a dog. I guess less menacing, less impressive. Sgmar says, you're right. Look, Asher Kam Mikdash Rishon Kam Mikdash Sheni. Okay, Seder by Mikdash Rishon, then it looked like a lion. Mikdash Sheni. Second base on Mikdash already looked like a dog. The Gemara says, Mikdash Sheni Mihavya. What do you mean? Hold on. There was no fire that came down from heaven in the Mikdash Sheni. In the second base on Mikdash. Rama Rabbi Shmuel Bar Enya. My Dichtiv, what does it mean when the Pasuk says, Ve'etzebo ve'chabed? V'karina nechabda, right? We read that word as ve'chabda. My chas, my shna. What's the difference between ve'chabed and ve'chabda? Va'kavda, the mechusar hay, right? You're missing a hay, right? At the end of the word. So elu chamisha dvarim shahayu bein mikdash rishon lemikdash sheni. These are the five things that was different between the first base of mikdash and the second. Ve'elu hein, and these are the five: the aron, ave, the kaporis, b, the kruvim. Well, I guess those are all together. Yeah, the eish, the fire that didn't come down from heaven. Ushchina for ruach hakodesh v'rum v'tumim. Right, and then you have the Shechina wasn't there, and the Ruach HaKodesh, and then you have the Urim Matumim. So either way, you see that the fire wasn't there. So what do you mean that this is the difference between the crouching lion and the crouching dog? Was first based on Mikdash, second based on Mikdash? There was no fire in the second based on Mikdash from Shemayim. So Gemara says, Amri, they said, in Mehavahava Siyudla Misayeya. Then no, Enochinami, there was actually a fire, but it didn't help burning anything that was on the Mizbeach. So there was a fire. Meaning, when we say Eish, what's the difference between the first Mizbeach and the second, the first Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, is that, yeah, the nature of the fire was different. Not that there wasn't any fire, that the nature of the fire was different. The fire, the first Beis HaMikdash actually helped in the burning, and the second one kind of just, I don't know, chilled and was hanging out there, but the other fire was the one that had to do the burning. Tanu Rabbanan. Now we're talking about fire. Let's talk a little bit more about fire. Sheish Eishos Hain. There's six different types of fire. Yesh ocheles ve'eno shosa, there's something that eats and does not drink. We'll see what that means in a second. Ve'eshosha shosa ve'eno ocheles, that drinks and does not eat. Yesh ocheles ve'shosa, something that drinks and eats. Yesh ocheles lachem kevashin, there's one that eats dry, wet things like dry things. Ve'esh esh docha esh, there's fire that consumes and pushes away fire. Ve'esh esh ocheles esh, ocheles esh, and there's fire that consumes fire. Now, Gemara is going to explain what that means. Yesh esh ocheles ve'eno shosa, there's fire that consumes and does not drink, meaning it consumes dry things, but not wet things. Tadidon, that's our fire. That's the fire we're familiar with, right? It'll burn something that's dry, but once you hit a wet spot, so then obviously the water puts out fire. Shosa ve'eno ocheles, what's the fire that drinks and does not eat? That's the chulin. That is people, sorry, the cholin. That's the fire of people who are sick, right? Rachman al-Islam. If you look at Rashi, right, decholin minakadachas, right on their forehead, shuka eish, that feels like fire, vitzame lamayim, and he's very, very thirsty, right, ve'inu chovitz la'echo, but he's not interested in eating, right, when a person has a fever, Rahman al-Islam is very, very thirsty, but they're not really so hungry. So that's a fire that kilu consumes liquid, right? Again, because he's thirsty, and he's almost like he's drying up, even though he doesn't want to eat. Okay, but he doesn't. That's the cholin. That's the fire of sick people. That's the fire that drinks and does not eat. Ocheles v'shosa. What's the fire that eats and drinks? That's the Elio. That's, if you remember, story of Elio Ahar Carmel. But he had a whole bet with the Nevi'ei Habal, and he said, "You guys make a mizbeach, call to your God, see if he sends fire from heaven, and I'll do the same." So Elio, not only did he put a korban wood on his mizbeach, he also doused it with a ton of water. And the fire came down, and not only did it consume the mizbeach, what was on the mizbeach, it also consumed all the water. So it ate and it drank. Okay, fine. I think, not sure. Either way, so that's that pasuk by Eliyahu. What's ocheles lachem kevashin? What is the fire that consumes wet things like dry things? That's the fire demaracha. That's the fire on the mizbeach. Yesh ish docha ish. What's the fire that pushes away fire? That's the gavriel. That's the fire of gavriel. If you're familiar with the story of Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, that get thrown in the furnace, Hashem Baruch Hu sends Gavriel down, right? Nebuchadnezzar threw him in the fire. Nebuchadnezzar sends Gavriel down, and with Gavriel's koch of Eish, right, he extinguished almost, as it were, the other fire that Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah were inside. So his fire was there, and they were walking around in the fire, but it was Gavriel's fire that pushed away the other fire that would have consumed them, and that's fire that pushes away fire. Eish ocheles Eish. There's fire that consumes fire. That's the Shechina. That's the fire of the Shechina. Damamar Hoshi Etzpo Beneim V'Sorfon. The Kosh Baruch Hu put his finger between them and burned them. That's, if you look at Rashi, that's the angels that said to him during creation, "Why should you create man?" Right. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, the Kosh Baruch Hu kind of touched them with his pinky, shall we say, or his fork, whatever, and he burned them alive. Okay. Again, and the malachim themselves are fire, so okay, fine. The Ashana Maracha, Afilu Kolha, Rucho Shabulam Ain Mizizu Sobin Komo, right? We said before that the smoke of the Mizbeach, even if there are all these winds, will not move the smoke from the Mizbeach. The problem is, Vamar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, B'motzi Yantav Achron Shel Chag, after the last day of Yom Tov on Sukkos, Hakol Tzofin La'Ashana Maracha, everybody would look to the smoke from the Mizbeach, kind of like their own Groundhog's Day. Nota klapit safon, if it would go towards the north, then the poor people would be happy, and the homeowners, literally the people who own the fields, right, they would be sad. Why? Because there will be a tremendous amount of rain, and the fruits are going to rot. And then, presumably, as Rashi points out, so then they will be in a hurry to sell their produce, and prices will be lower in the shuk. Okay, not the klabi darim. If the smoke went to the south, then the poor people will be sad, and the homeowners, the field owners, will be happy. Because there would not be so much rain that year. And the produce would be able to be stored, would stay, right? And then obviously, if you have a lot of it, right? If you have produce that's backed up, and so then you can charge a lot. because they can keep, you know, throughout the entire year, they have all this produce available, and you can keep the prices a bit higher. Not the, because there's no rush to get rid of the produce, of the inventory. Not the klapim mizrach, if the smoke went to the east, hakol smeichem, everybody would be happy. That is because, if you look at Rashi, again, now this is a little confusing, but klapim mizrach, if it went towards the east, that means it's a western wind. That's going to be important, because the Gemara is going to bring a stira that says that the western wind is difficult. But either way, if it's not all, if it's going towards the east, that means it's a western wind. If you look at Rashi, ruach maravis shekulahi umivya gishamim lefiarui lo leperis markivin utvasizera matzlagas vein rav ba'ulam. I mean, that's it's a good wind that brings good rain and stuff like that. Right? The western wind was positive. Kavi marav, but if the smoke went to the west, meaning there was an easterly wind, hakol tzavim, everybody would be sad. People would be very, very sad because basically that would mess things up. Because it would Hakol tzavim, everybody would be sad because there's going to be a harsh wind, right? A very bad wind. Rashi says it's a very dry wind. Etc. But either way, again, we see that the smoke did move. Skamar says, right, it would move back and forth. It would like a kadikla, like a palm tree, but it wouldn't actually dissipate in the wind. Yes, it would, you know, go back and forth like it had mamashos, like it had substance, but it wouldn't actually kind of be affected by the wind. Now, we're going to bring a stira against what we just said about those winds. Amar Mar said, right, everybody's, if it's going towards the east, meaning a westerly wind, everybody's happy. If it's going toward the west, meaning an easterly wind, everybody is sad. Or Minu, bring a stira, Mizrachis, if you have an easterly wind, Olam Yafet, that's a good wind. Right, we just said Hakol Tzavim, everybody's sad. Marav is, if you have a westerly wind, western wind, right, that we said in the first price, Hakol Smeichim, Lolom Kasha, right, that's going to be difficult for everybody. Ruch Tzifon is a northern wind, Yofa Lachitin, Mishash Haviu Shlish, a northern wind is good for the wheat, when they're at least one-third grown. V'kasha L'zeisim, Bishman She'en Chontin, they're tough, and that's, the northerly wind is tough on olives if they have already blossomed. Ruach Dromis, the southern wind, Kasha Lechit, is the opposite, is true. Kasha Lechit and Bishash Hevi Shlish, Viyafa Lezesim, Bishman Shehin Chutin, that is difficult on the one-third grown wheat, but it's good for the olives that have already blossomed. Vam Rav Yosef, Yitema Marzotra, Simanech, Shulcha Betzof, and Menor Bedarom. And the simon, that you can remember this, which wind is which, is that the shulchan is in the north, and the menorah is in the south, right? Again, the shulchan is lechem, so that's wheat, and the menorah is oil, which that's oil, olives, so that's how you can remember which one is good for which. But the Maman of Shach, we're saying here that, again, is the eastern wind good or bad? Is the western wind good or bad? So the Gemara says, hai marbididei, hai marbididei. Meaning, how does that work? Meaning, which one is accurate? That's a continuation of the shulchan and the menorah. Meaning, this one includes its own, and this one includes its own. Meaning, again, as I pointed out, the menorah, which has oils, that's going to talk about the olives, and then that's in the south of the Kodesh, therefore the southern wind is going to be good. And the shulchan, which has wheat, right, that's in the northern part of the Kodesh, that's going to be good. That includes the south. But either way, right, again, we have a kasha, right, what's the deal with the winds? Is eastern good or western good? So the Gemara says, lo kasha, halan, v'ha, lehu. Right, for lan, for us, for our people, meaning our people in Bavel. So that's true for the first brisa, meaning that the maravis. Which one was that? Sorry, that the western wind, everybody is an eastern wind, everybody's sad, and the western wind is good because in Bavel, meaning they didn't need the rain. Meaning in Bavel, they had a good, they didn't need the rain. They had a lot of water, they had a lot of fertile soil, and if they had a lot of rain, that would be bad. But in Eretz Yisrael, which they need a lot of rain, so then that's that they would look towards the rain. Meaning that again, that the western wind would bring a lot of rain, therefore Bavel would be sad by it, but Eretz Yisrael would be happy with it. And the eastern wind apparently does not bring a lot of rain, so therefore Bavel would be happy, and Eretz Yisrael would be sad. Okay, either way, Hadron Alach Shivas Yamim, and we'll go weiter in the Hilgashas tomorrow to start the second parak of Masechas Yuma, Mirtzah Hashem.